And now, let's join Maggie Linton on SiriusXM Urban View, Channel 110.
Well, welcome back. Next segment, we'll find how things work. And tomorrow, great tips from a career coach for how to market yourself and get a job interview. But we continue right now with Ghost Whisperer and spiritual teacher, Dr. Susan Shumsky. Her latest book is The Power of Auras. We're going to, and again, folks, if you'd like to add anything to the discussion today about ghosts or, you know, dreams of loved ones or something, you can definitely give us a call. It's 866-801-8255. Once again, that's 866-801-8255. Let's talk about auras, because a lot of times we of the living, in fact, all of us, we of the living have some type of aura, don't we?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it's our subtle body or our spiritual body. You can call it by many names, aura, energy field, and so on. Basically, it is the human energy field which gives life to this physical body. There, in India, they talk about five different sheaths or koshas of the human body. And one is this physical body. Another one is our energy body. Then there's the mental body and the intellect and ego body and the causal body. So those are the five sheaths or the fivefold sheath that permeates, pervades, and surrounds this physical form. And people call that the auric field, the aura, the energy field.
And do loved ones that have passed on or people that have passed on, can their aura stay and then be gone?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
And that's what causes the ghost sort of thing?
Right. Well, the only thing that happens at death is that the body drops off. So really nothing happens at death. In other words, you're still conscious, you still have the same mind, you still have the same senses, you're able to see, hear, taste, touch, smell, you're still able to be aware of your surroundings. You know, you can see, for example, your own body lying there on the bed or wherever it is. And in fact, you are still very much alive. After death, nothing really happens at death. You're the same person. And you continue to have the same habits, conditions, ideas, addictions, and everything. You take everything with you. Your talents go with you, and everything goes with you. So that is the, what you call the ghost. The ghost is your spiritual body that you take with you after death. And the idea is that the place to go is to into that divine light, into what we call heaven or the divine realm, the spiritual plane. You could call it many things. But as I had said before, there are 15 different reasons why a spirit does not move on into the light, why they get stuck, why they get stranded.
One of the things you also mention is also about organ donations. And there are so many people who now get transplants of one kind or another that comes from another body.
Right. So one of the 15 reasons why a being does not move on is if a person is very, very attached to this physical body and doesn't think that there's anything else after death. And if such an individual, if they unwittingly signed an organ donation card after death, thinking that, in fact, this body, this consciousness or this awareness or consciousness starts at birth and ends at death, and so they figure, okay, the body's dead and I'll be gone and I'll just be in some blank nothing state. And then after death, they notice that their body is being carved up and that these organs are being carved out of their body. You know, it's a little bit disconcerting for such a soul who thought that everything ended at death. But if a being understands, realizes, and experiences that this spiritual body is separate from their physical body and that they're only temporarily inhabiting this physical body, then it's perfectly okay to donate your organs after death and to sign your organ donation card. And that's a great thing. You know, you can help, you can give the gift of life to people. So the important thing is just there are some people who they do not move on into the light because of organ donations, because they don't really have enough spiritual awareness to know that this body is not all there is.
Yeah. In a sense, the body is just borrowed for the time of being on the earth this time. And it becomes,
exactly.
Then it becomes, in a sense, a question of reincarnation. What do you come back with? What have you learned this time around?
Exactly. And that's the reason why, Maggie, there are people like child prodigies who come back with tremendous talents that they've learned in past lives. And that's the reason why some people, they just have a facility or a knack or what they call a gift for something. Well, it's not really a gift. They earned it because they learned it in a past life.
You talk about, and in your book, of the power of auras, one of the things that I thought was you know, just I did not read every word from cover to cover, and I'll admit that, but how to feel subtle energy, that things that we can do ourselves.
The reality is that everyone is already sensing subtle energy. If you've ever gone into a place like, for example, a mental institution or a hospital or a bar or a prison or another building that seems to have weird vibrations in it, then you are sensing subtle energies. If you've ever met an individual who, as soon as you met them, you thought, oh, this person is a really stressed out person. Just feel a bad vibe coming from this person, or this person seems to be really angry. I can sense that. That is reading auras. That's reading the aura of that individual. And that is sensing subtle energy. So everyone does experience auras. Everyone does experience subtle energy. It's just that most people are more clairsentient, whereas some people are clairvoyant or clairaudient. In other words, clairvoyant means you can see, clairaudient means you can hear, and clairsentient means you can feel. You can sense subtle energies.
And can people actually improve on that?
Yes,
their awareness and senses, and some of that comes through meditation?
Exactly. Maggie, the fact is that you can develop your subtle sense perceptions through meditation and through other practices that I teach in the book, The Power of Auras. Mm-hmm. I teach people how to develop their spiritual senses through specific exercises. For example, one might be the mirror gazing exercise, where in a semi-darkened or darkened space, you just sit in front of a mirror, gazing with what we call soft focus vision in that mirror at your own forehead, and you'll begin to see your own aura that way.
Right. All right, we've got a call from Keith in Texas. Go ahead, Keith.
I you know, Maggie, I appreciate your show. I listen. But, you know, when you're talking spirituality, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure where she bases her information on. But, you know, the Bible says that the dead know of nothing. Only the living know that they have passed. And that there is no consciousness past death. Now, when you do in-depth study, you realize that that life after death situation and that concept came from the philosophers back in the day when they were considering this question. And it got put into, you know, at that time, what was should have been pure Christianity, which is that's where these concepts came from. That's not actually what the Bible says. So when you're talking about, you know, coming back from a light, and that goes so totally against what the Bible says. I'm just astounded, because, you know, he says that there would be false teachers and there would be people that would lead you totally the wrong way. And I usually don't call in. I usually just listen.
Mm-hmm.
But this goes so against what the teachings of Christianity is about that I had to call in. There is no, that's why he said there will be a resurrection of the righteous and the unrighteous. If you were in heaven, or if you were in what people believe to be a hell, which, you know, when you do an in-depth study on Sheol and Hades and the derivative of the common grave of mankind, you find out that that's not true. He did not promise man heaven. That's a falsehood. He promised man a paradise earth, which he has to come through with Otherwise, Satan would be a winner because he put a hold on that. So you have to do a lot of in-depth study, you know, before you can say that these concepts are so. He said that Lazarus was asleep. Well, that's how he views death, as asleep, because that's why the Bible says when you hear his voice, if you passed away, you're going to come out of wherever you are, sleeping. So, you know, these concepts, I'm just, the Bible is the only true word of God, and it tells mankind how to live and how to receive, which would be the ultimate reward, which we all try to do, is have everlasting life. I appreciate
okay.
you letting me
Keith, Keith,
time.
Can I just say something to you? Was not the Bible written by man? By men? By multiple men?
Okay, yes, we know that the Bible was written, the books were written by men, but we also know that the Bible was inspired by God. If you believe that, if you believe in the Bible, then you can't take parts of it out and make it fit you. It says that these words were inspired by God. Not, yes, they were penned by man, but if you have an assistant, do you tell your assistant what to write on occasion? Is it from her or is it from you? It's from you. There's no difference from a being that is greater than all mankind to say, these are my words. I'm putting this spirit in them so that they will write this. That's why the Bible is it's fluent. You know, they match. These people, some of these men never even knew each other, but yet they're able to talk about what happened. The combination of the belief is one. So that question about, well, wasn't it written by man? Yes, it was. But was it inspired by God? Most definitely it was. Because no man could tell that they couldn't tell the future. No man can still tell the future. But they had the ability that when people questioned the Bible, when I was growing up, they don't do that anymore about the places that the Bible said. They said, oh, these places can't exist. You know, these men don't know what they're talking about. And then they went and researched, and archaeologists found that these places were there. Mm-hmm. You know, that penmanship about man, you can throw that out the window. Because, no, again, that was inspired words. He told them what to write. He put that spirit in them, and they wrote it as he said, or as that thought was put in their mind, not penned by man. But and that's a great question because people ask that all the time. But it was written by man.
Okay. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, Keith. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. Thanks so much. We appreciate your thoughts and your beliefs, and we're very much appreciative of what you said.
Thank you, Keith. We're going to go to Andre in Texas. Go ahead, Andre.
Hey, how you doing, Maggie?
I'm good, and you?
All right. I got two things I want to tell you about. And one thing I want to be clear on is the last caller, when he made a reference about the death deal in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't scripture. That was from Psalms, and that was from a man that was dying.
Mm-hmm.
And he was singing a song crying out to God, and he was pleading that he didn't want to die in the song, in the scripture, because he didn't know what was. He felt that there was no life after death. In the grave, the dead are dead. But that wasn't God's words. That was a man that didn't know what was going to happen that was pleading for his life. That's
right.
Why be careful what part of the Bible that they take stuff from. Because
exactly.
Everything in the Bible, that's Psalms. That's a song. That's not
right.
That was somebody. Yeah, that's not God's words. That's not
right.
Jesus' words. That was a man saying, I don't want to die.
Exactly.
And that's what that was about. But here's the other thing. My wife passed away in 2004. We had three kids. And she went to sleep and didn't wake up. And they said that some medication she took, a combination of, caused her heart to stop in her sleep. So my kids, I had a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, and an 8-year-old.
Mm.
And they were all laying right there when she, you know, she didn't wake up. Now, the things that happened after that, and people have to understand this, the things that happened after that were very different. Like, my 4-year-old never grieved at that point, because if you talk to her, she would tell you that she, her mother's standing right there. She was still
right.
seeing her mother, and she was
exactly.
still staying with her mother every day in the room by herself, holding conversations with her mother for months.
Right, right.
And then, in reference to me, it was times when she would come to me. She actually literally came to me, would wake me up when I had to get the kids to school and I was asleep. Literally, like, slap me and scream at me and slap me and wake me up. And it's like she was still a part of our life. Mm-hmm. It was to a point she was such a, and she played a lot of practical jokes. And me and my sons was in the kitchen one day. They got home from school, and it was a something just ran through the house, like just went through the house, and papers were flying in the air, and it just something went real fast through the house like that. And
right.
My sons, you know, we ran out of the house, and my both my sons, they were laughing, and my oldest son said, you know, I know that's my mama, but I got to get used to this.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And then another occurrence is because I'm a contractor, and I had a hard time with her death, and, you know, I still had business, and I had my phone ringing all day, and people were calling me. I had projects going, and I was sitting at the table. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, and I sit there till 5 o'clock in the evening, and I didn't even realize how much time had passed. I was just sitting in one place. And in that moment, every door in the house burst open in one big bang. Every door. I mean, we had French doors on the master bedroom, on the study, had French doors on the entry, the garage. Every door in the house burst open. And I took that as a hint, like she telling me, you know, keep it moving.
All right.
You know, so I got to take care of these kids. But what I'm saying is, I can go on, because she's come to me at different times. I mean, I dated a woman once, and that wasn't right for me. And I left her at that house.
Yeah. All right.
And that woman ran and called me from a payphone and told me that she could never go to my house again. She told me that the TV kept going up and down, the doors were slamming, and it was just all kinds of things was happening.
All right.
And I end with this. The day that she left us, and she didn't really leave because she still shows up in my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But the day she left, my 4-year-old daughter was in the mirror brushing her hair. And I asked her, what are you doing? She said, I'm combing my hair. I said, you don't know how. She said, well, my mama said that she's going to have to go away for a while, and I'm going to have to start taking care of myself and take care of you and my brothers. And I said, well, how long is she going to be gone? She said, I don't know. She didn't say. And she just kept brushing her hair. And that was like our last conversation on that subject.
All right. Al, I'm going to have to let you go. And I'm going to have to let everybody else go, including Dr. Susan Shumsky. We've already got our next guest on the line. But thank you so much once again for all of you for sharing. And the book again is The Power of Auras. It is by Dr. Susan Shumsky. And you can find out more at her website, which is drsusan.org. That's drsusan.org. Thank you so much, Dr. Shumsky.
My joy and pleasure. Thank you for inviting me, Maggie.
All right. Coming up, how things work and why. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back with more conversation about today's hottest topics right after this short break. This is the Maggie Linton Show on Sirius XM Urban View.